Day is number 14. Time is 8:45. A work session of the House Labor and Commerce Committee is now in session. Those persons present are Representative Malone, Winty, Ringstad, Cowdery, Yearling, and Furness. The purpose of the work session this morning is to review the concerns with the Alaska Power Authority. The work session was prompted by a request from Representative Winty to share some concerns that he may have. I did talk to Representative Bettisworth a little while ago in the hall and indicated that his new finance committee, being the oversight committee for finance consideration, they did initiate a legislative budget and audit review of the EPA just last week. So what we may want to do is to work in concert with what they're doing as opposed to reinventing the wheel, duplicating, and take some direction from this committee as to other things we'd like to see done along that line. Without further comment, I'd like to turn the attention to Representative Winty to make any presentation of observation and deem advised at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the committee's time. To recall, trying to, I guess, describe the situation I'm in. Our very first meeting that we held together was on the wrap-up insurance bill, in which the power authority has authority, or gained authority, to deal in a wrap-up insurance program. The first, as I understand, it's the only place they've ever applied that is the Tyee Power Pipeline. I think the testimony that we took during that day indicated some significant problems both with the application of that particular authority and what impact that has had on the state's resources. And the manner in which bids were conducted and let on that project. Some of the implications made in that testimony that really got beyond that, in my mind, were extremely serious. Were not justified in the testimony, or not documented in the testimony, but suggested, at least to me, that it would warrant some further clarification or understanding by the legislature in terms of the performance of the contractors on the project, the performance of the Alaska Power Authority, the implications of the actions of those two parties, as well as this legislature and past legislature, on the development of the project. As following Senate Bill 25 and 26 of a couple years ago, and the changes made in House Bill 9 in terms of rate structure, this is one of the first projects coming online in which the legislature can now judge the impact of its actions and really determine, since this state has no energy policy, whether that's a failing of the legislature or the administration in the past. I guess it doesn't matter this coming time, but given the lack of any overall state energy policy, I think it's important for us all in this session to take a look at the implications and the results of actions that legislature has taken in the past of setting up and developing these projects, to one, determine whether there is a need for any remedy in the legislation that's been conducted in the past, whether the the assumptions made at the time that legislation passed are true today when those projects are coming online. True also, determining truth in terms of the impact on the communities and particularly the, obviously the users of that power. Also, I think with the implications of some of that testimony, there is the question at least, grave whether the Alaska Power Authority does have sufficient controls over the project and whether they and the state of Alaska are going into projects with their eyes open in terms of the full ramifications and particularly the full cost of each and every project. To explain further, I guess, the Special Committee on Loans came after that hearing we held on that episode. The testimony from Senator Federici in which the topic came up again. Tyee, as well as other projects in the state, currently have financing, short-term financing, which is guaranteed by the state of Alaska.
Guaranteed by the legislature.
Those are due, as I understand it, within a year. There is still the question hanging as to how those debts are going to be repaid. The options in terms of rolling over that debt to long term. Senator Federici implied that there were some serious questions that we all needed to look at into that and the impact that that type of financing would have for a successful project to have on it. Getting back to Tyee itself, the people of my district, at least, are of the understanding that the original estimate of that project were around $45-50 million. The people of my district had originally supported another project which would have been more expensive than that. After having several feasibility studies done, the decision made essentially at the level of the Alaska Power Authority that the goal of Tyee as opposed to Thomas Bay's project, because the cost of Tyee would be lower. That is clearly the perception of the people in the city. As the project is developed, as I understand it, although I don't have a current figure, the best estimate I understand at present time is 112 million.
If the state of Alaska entered into a project expecting the cost to be 45 million, and the cost has ended up being $112 million. I think we all recognize that many government projects have significant overruns, but that's beyond even significant in my mind. And I think we ought to understand and clear up how that developed. Now, it's my understanding that Mr. Yold has made statements that the state, Alaska Power Authority, and everybody knew that that project was going to cost in excess of $100 million when we went into it. If that's the case, I think this committee and the legislature has to determine that and essentially state that as a fact so that the accusations against the project itself can be cleared up. In my mind, let me get back to the debt service for a minute. It is my understanding that it was the position of the staff of Alaska Power Authority that the project be completed. There's over $30 million in costs left to be incurred to complete the project. It's my understanding that they recommend a direct appropriation from this legislature
fund that. It's my understanding also that the Alaska Power Authority Board rejected that advice and has decided to suggest the sale of revenue bonds to complete that project. Concerns of my constituents, of course, is that even inflates the cost of the project, the utility rate they're being asked to pay even more. The decision of the city of Petersburg that I think we're all aware of, and given the estimates suggested to them by the Alaska Power Authority in terms of wholesale rates for that project, that will result in 100% increase in their utility rate, up to in the neighborhood of 26 cents per kilowatt. The position that places the city of Ketchikan, and that is the fact, and that's another question in terms of how those rates are determined, and there is legislation that participates and affects that, the setting of those rates. I think we need to determine what impact that's having on this project. To determine the extent to which remedies need to be made to change that, if it's necessary. But given a 100% increase in the rates of power in the city of Petersburg. For those of you who don't know Petersburg, it's primarily a fishing community. There is clearly the largest purchasers of power. It's primarily one processor. At times it's been the state's largest fish processor. Through numerous discussions with the city on rate structures, whether it's water or electricity or whatever, they've indicated that if any time it's cheaper for them to produce power, to develop their own water supply, that they would do that. Certainly the concern of the city council in Petersburg is that the cost of 26 cents per kilowatt is tough enough, but if their major industrial purchaser, because of the escalation of those costs, develops their own power supply, the individuals, and particularly the homes in Petersburg and Wrangell, their costs are even going to go higher with the loss of that major customer. And I certainly in no way fault a major business like that. Recognizing, of course, the fishing industry is marginal at this time, at best, to have to look at, 100% increase in their utility bills. And I think we all recognize the amount of power it takes to operate a fish processor. So clearly, given all those circumstances, I don't fault the city of Petersburg in any way in the decision that they've made. What impact does that have on us? There are loans outstanding on that project, that it is currently the intent of the Alaska Power Authority to sell revenue bonds to pay off that short-term debt. Clearly, the state of Alaska and the Alaska Power Authority is not going to be able to float a revenue bond if their major purchaser of power, a major source of that revenue, the city of Petersburg, decides not to purchase that power. Therefore, the option of the Alaska Power Authority to sell revenue bonds is out the window. Is it the intent of the Alaska Power Authority that they're going to come in for direct funding for that? Is it their intent to shut down the project? Is it a possibility that debt would go in default and the state's guarantees would have to be brought forward? That, I think, was a primary concern of Senator Skirbaluski and her testimony to our committee. The performance and development of the project, both in terms of the original feasibility studies, the estimates, the selection and continued contracts of the designers, the way in which
contracts were awarded, the impact of the authority we in the legislature gave to the Alaska Fire Authority in terms of insurance changes. I think there are sufficient questions in all those areas to warrant a thorough review by the legislature. I feel that this committee is as good as any, and I think it's in my intent in focusing in on this project as it's one of the first ones coming online. It's one in which they've had a number of problems with, that it's important for us to clear the air on the performance of Alaska Power Authority, on the performance of this legislature and past legislatures, and how we have devised and proposed these projects to warrant a full review of the development of this project. And I would certainly urge the committee to do that. And if it has been the last week the decision of the Finance Committee, the instruction of the legislative audit to develop a full overview of Alaska Power Authority, I think we can dovetail into that very well. And that would certainly provide us with some good information, particularly in regards to any additional controls we would like to see the Alaska Power Authority develop, or any additional controls we feel we have to impose on the Alaska Power Authority, recognizing that they've been a pretty independent agency within the structure of the state, that I think we can develop for this committee and our colleagues some very good information on which we can make future judgments on another project. I think it's as much in the interest of the Alaska Power Authority, in the designers and contractors of that project, as it is to my constituents or this committee to fully understand how and what problem. If there is no problem, let's document that and get that out so we can clear the air. If there is a problem, let's propose whatever remedies we feel are appropriate for this session to develop. I have just this morning received a copy of analysis that point out some of the questions and concerns that the House Research Agency has developed in the last week. I worked with Representative Clarkson in the question that I haven't even had a chance to read it, so we'd hoped to have this last week when we scheduled this meeting so that I could have gone through it, but I would certainly make it available to the staff, and so we can get copies made and have use of it and then determine one, I guess the question before the committee, is the committee interested in conducting a review of the project? And secondly, what parameters and to what extent do we want to conduct that review? And thirdly, how, particularly in regard to staff assignments, and extent individual committee members would participate in that, whether there's budget implications in terms of the internal workings of the committee and that, I don't know. But I think those are the issues really before us right now.
Thank you, Representative Winter. Let me set a couple of ground rules. First is, because of another commitment, we'll have to conclude this at 9:30. Second, the work session was called in order to give the full committee at least a perspective of the concern with the power authority, and as a body, hopefully we can make a decision as to where we go from here. Third is to take testimony to at ease discuss the situation, and fourth, to continue this, I think it's either Wednesday. Continue Wednesday, at which time we would come back with concrete recommendations if it is the pleasure of the group to continue. So those are the three parameters. several persons have asked to be heard, Representative Cowdery and Representative Winchell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that Representative Winchell brought up a situation that's not uncommon with underfunding at times for whatever reasons certain projects that state contracts and this and that, whether the incomplete design or what I know in the private sector design is commonly held within the budget, not over budget. But anyway, I think that the one of the problems, like he pointed out, once you commit to the project, regardless if you can't walk away from it, it creates quite a problem. I think that talking with Representative Bedingsworth on the budget and audit, the audit section, I think that representatives would like to ask Representative Winnie to testify and, to that committee and request the areas of concern and have them do the auditing and find out, investigate, and hopefully come up with some solutions, and then maybe get back and make recommendations to keep this area from happening again. I think that the, like you said earlier, that rather than reinvent the wheel, at the proper, or the, my opinion, the thing would be, since the budget modders has already made plans to investigate, that we should kind of join hands with them and let them do the preliminary work, at least on this, and then get back to
it. Captain Ringstead?
Well, thank you. Part of what I was working on was the same idea of Captain Calgary. The budget audit committee is the basic arm of the legislature to do this type of auditing work. And the chairman has said that he will have the audit done. And I would like to pose the question to Representative Wenke, what he is looking at for this committee to be doing in addition to that, or is he looking for more than that audit, or what particularly is that we're going to be doing that they aren't going to be.
Mm-hmm. I think that is a key. I understand the legislative budget and audit will primarily deal with the financial aspect. There appear to be other kinds of concerns that we may want to either internally or externally investigate. What I would suggest we do is I would set up a meeting with Representative Bedingsworth to get a clear understanding as to the limitation, or have a joint meeting with his subcommittee and to determine what the proper division of responsibility is.
For the most part, and the most while you're auditing, the primary function tends to be the financial one, but they can only do an operational audit at the same time, and I think that much so with finance right now, what we're looking at is the operation of what's going on, and they can do that. And my guess would be that they would be assuming that probably they would be doing that, and I would recommend maybe that you address with the general of the budget last year, just how he proposes the procedure for what he feels this committee's role should be in the enforcement of this.
Is the legislative budget audit committee audit work going to be confined to how you say it?
I'm not the reading that, so what did you say?
I think that there is other projects, other areas of work people do, but they, when we brought this up, they would welcome to to investigate this they have other areas of concern.
I just curious on that. I think that the point raised by maybe one of the things that
probably is the most appropriate committee to do that. I think it would be really useful for the this committee and the legislature to look at the development and power budgets generally under the Alliance of Power Authorities. How do you like this project, maybe more particularly through the lens of the funding of the budget? I think that one of the things that we discovered in the audit is, in fact, the audit is to do that discovery, is that there aren't just difficulties that arise because of contracts and procedures and analyses made by the authorities. There's some policy checkpoints built into the authority's operation, which requires action of the legislature. I think that more than likely what people would find out is that the legislature was up to its responsibility in authorizing the project. And I think one of the most serious things right now that exists is we have absolutely no way of comparing alternative power projects using the same basis as information. In other words, when you compare one project to another for the purpose of deciding which one to fund or which one to start on, you use different bases for making a comparison, so it's not a comparison at all. I think you find out in the Tidal Lake projects and other ones that you want to look into. And I think that we have to see this because the investment for public transit and skills can be made with this study of that.
Yeah, I was just going to make a comment. Going back to the Tidal project, is that the appropriation bill FFG 25 and 26 is in fact for the rest of the
thing? That's essentially the, not necessarily the region that's working, but it's like a technical system that this project is going to develop. The set up the grants for blackness, infamous blackness dogs, and that stuff is considering some of the costs among all companies. But there's another thing, I guess, with Tyree, it's not just being done by people through the room, but it seems that among some other projects as well. So it's not just impacting other people.
Maybe it would be appropriate, have you set up in writing any type of goals as far as the financial improvements, and then have an extra grant for the legislative budget auditor, some sense of what the best vehicle is left in the room, or the program for the next budget audit, or anything on the goals?
I got staff to do work on this and record something considerable. I'd like to actually come forward with this having some sort of information or observation.
Mr. Chairman, if I could respond to some of the questions. In the theme of this legislature, I have no kind of opposite to do or which committee it is. I was not aware that budget audit was interested in doing it. Certainly the expertise, and I think that could be part of the question that we could staff in the finance area, certainly they have the expertise. I think we all realize that budget audit gets a hell of a lot more budget from this committee, you know, and they have a little more leeway than the committee that we work with. I have not, like I said, I guess new information in either area or interested. I think I'm saying there's clearly the need to develop information. I would love to have any other project outside of my district to do with that, whether you go to Green Lake or Tara Lake or whatever, but I frankly think I don't know, I'm going to probably know it. I'd love to have some other content, but the way and the information we try to come in, I could have seen it like this, to bite the bullet. I don't think it's going to do that. But I think we learned some of the parameters of what we discussed in this committee. But we
let's do that. Here we go. I'll
try and be brief somewhat. Number one, first of all, let's go back into the background. When it occurred last year, the Speaker of the House, the District of the Senate, the body, the leader of the Senate, the Senate of the House, was the Attorney General previously, and retained him on the staff. They made a final report on January 26, 1982. At that time, there was a provision in it that was a request from the law firm. It said this letter and attached memoranda constitute work considered pursuant to the attorney-client relationship and attorney work product. Dissemination of this letter and attachments may raise the related privileges and duties of the request that you contact us prior to making the letter and attachments available to others. In the meantime, we will await your further instructions as to whatever action, if any, you wish to pursue in this matter. My involvement in that, and I'll just go into that for a second because I was put it into that same quote up until that same time, was that in April of last year, we were given an oral briefing by Mr. Gifter, legislative assistant to Representative Martin, chairman of House Labor and Commerce Committee, and I've been involved in it to the extent, through one way or another. This letter points out in prior ways the lack of insurance in the attached memoranda here, certain areas of which they deal basic and fundamental laws of the state. The conclusions were that they deemed it advisable not to litigate as it was an expensive time consuming given the grants of the report. The conclusion was after reviewing the report and documents between us, the series of problems identified in the question raised in this matter were best to address reviewing directly with the executive center or holding legislative hearings and adoptions of remedial legislation. That is the request of the Speaker that the letter comes. They tended to have a few letters this time as well. The Speaker was making that request to the committee. In some of the areas that they were covering, the Speaker's chief insurance violations, workers' compensation insurance violations, antitrust violations, and then it goes on and on and on. Some of the areas that it points out, one of their findings is made as we could determine from the documents provided us. The lack of power carry did not comply with the requirements of the above-cited guidelines. Those guidelines were contracting procedures, et cetera, et cetera. In further reiterating this, while we are inclined to think the likelihood of violations of the above-referenced area is quite possible to appear the sense the new administration is empowered through prudence to discussions to ensue with the director of insurance, partner of administration, and department of law as to each of the various questions. And that was on the whole wrap-up, the whole contracting procedure, and this question where the Alaska Power Authority deals and goes. In these statutes here, there are many things that are requested or required by the Alaska Power Authority. Legislative budget not a budget good job, but I think the one thing that should be noted, and that is that in areas that are going to affect the policy, the only people who can do that is you yourself. As far as the information, I think whatever direction you wish, it can be performed in a number of areas of ways. One of the problems is being able to identify just exactly which way that it is that should be approached. And from going through all of the statutes in the entirety, there's four different areas that immediately come to mind if you look at separately, independently, and maybe quickly. The actual contract that the power authority has going is how they're performing, how they're doing, and how they're acting. How is one parallel greenlight in the program contract? What are they doing with the contract with the subcontract? The change or this type. Nuts and bolts, that's just exactly what representatives are going to be saying in those particular areas. Secondly, what is the policy, procedures, and everything else that is adopted in the bonds and the funds, short-term finance, revenue, bonds, etc. That's a distinction, a second distinction, obviously, that should be looked at. Third, procedural. How does the Alaska College Authority itself operate internally? How does it decide where it is going to be a feasibility study? What factors do they consider relevant or important? In an overall sense, and maybe that's an area that out of that, the policy of the legislature to be discussed and adopted as to what
we did over here. Here's what we want you to do. This is the areas that we go. And fourth is the actual power costs and the operation of the projects once they're completed. And that's another distinct area that, that is peripheral, touched on. TAI covers all of these areas, but then it may be fruitful to look at them each independently. For instance, in the power cost of being set a price, an immediate question comes to mind. If we remember the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission set allowable expenses to establish a wellhead price. Will it be the wish of the legislature to establish, to say, hey, in the TAI project, you have these overruns and everything, you can't charge them to those, to the individual citizens of Petersburg, for instance. What is the wish of the legislature at that point? And that, I think these are the questions that have to be. As far as the factual basis contained within here, I think that some directions needed as to which one of the documents. For instance, under 4483.080, under the powers of the authority, it says that the corporate purposes, number three, is to make and alter bylaws for its organization and internal management. I believe we should have copies of those. To make rules and regulations governing the exercise of its corporate powers, I think we should have copies of those. Keep going through, there's numerous reports that the power authority is supposed to be making as far as, like, on the loan. What is the status of the funds? How much has been appropriated to them? And currently, where are they going? I think budget and audit would be invaluable in those particular areas. For instance, under one more example now. But under trust indentures and trust agreements under 4483.110, under Part F, it requires that the chairman of the authority shall annually, no later than January 2nd, make and deliver to the governor and the legislature a certificate stating the sum, if any, required to restore any capital reserve fund to the capital reserve fund requirement. Legislature may appropriate such a fund, etc., etc. I think all of those reports are definitely needed. And to go through and statutorily look at what the basis is for in each of those particular areas that have been brought up. Whatever direction that the committee would wish to go.
The question for staff, Representative Malone.
No, I don't have any questions.
Jeff, what I would ask you to do then, I think those are valid observations. I'd ask you to go ahead and put those down for us. Identify it. those areas, and what we'll do is compile those and use those as a basis for continuation come Wednesday. And what we'd like to do is, Reverend Wendy, if we can get a copy, Jeff, and a copy of that often have it available in the file with you. And if you, if there's some pertinent questions asked in there, that we could use to Reverend Wendy.
Your first statement, sure, that legal opinion. Implication was that the confidential document would be
no longer.
It is no longer. So
as of this point in time, this document, it's been a little bit of that
clarification again that the Speaker of the House is indeed requesting the committee to conduct it.
On the power of the we're not receiving the official correspondence. But considering that the meeting was scheduled today, and they have hoped to have the one down, and all the other
he was saying, just kind of conclude from my point of view, that every time this topic comes up, in the time that we've been here, something new comes up. I had no idea the speaker had legal, you know, confidential documents on authority in that project. But I'm finding every corner that I go around where this topic comes up, I'm finding new concerns.
One of the things that I would like to ask the members of the committee chairman to think about is that some of the things that are happening did happen in the Patty Lake project. That's even the earlier stage of the consideration. Misfunds by the legislature. The things that may be happening now in the project state. And I think most regions have something being considered abuse of the same God. I think that we ought to, when we make some sort of comparison with how decisions are being made in early stages, other projects, with what might happen to other projects. I think that when you got to think about that, whether those considerations apply to decisions now being made on the Sitna or Bradley Lake project or other projects coming to the state, I don't know. But if some of them do, then
there obviously be serious problems. And I think it's important for us to make sure that we can outline how procedures resulted in a problem in Tidy Lake. And I think we can outline any of the various, well, I think we want to make sure that they aren't the same procedures, the same problems in that kind of, you know, there are areas where we're just beginning to commit this.
Actually, I'm kind of glad Representative Malone raised that point so that I can clarify my position. Clearly, there's very little we can do about Tidy, you know, it's behind us in terms of any problem there. And I fully expect the people in my district, including Peter Ruger, are going to have to bite the bullet and they're going to suffer from whatever problem is going on. But clearly, it's my intent to clear the air in terms of developing the future project so that we don't have these same confrontations that are developing the future project. In regards to Sitna, I certainly know there are people in this committee that that's a primary point, and I think it's not inaccurate to say there's a great deal of emotionalism tied with development, non-development, or whatever. And I clearly have been, and I've stated, made a commitment 2 years to, 2 years ago to Senator Cattullo in support of the Sitna project. The concept, pointing out that the only question we have to be documented apparently is the financial feasibility. But the importance to the state of Alaska and to the people of your district and to know going in what the impact of the project is going to be, particularly in terms of their utility costs. But certainly in terms of development of this state, we have to develop our power. Hydro is certainly one of, in the long term, is one of the best ways in my mind to do that in the large areas. And I'm very supportive of that. And I don't want any statements, concerns, or request of this committee to shade the fact that I'm very supportive of hydroelectric development. Based on the information I have, I'm very supportive of this specific project as well.
Any additional discussion at this time? If not, we'll stand adjourned until 8:45 tomorrow morning.
I've got